عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira Ansarmia. Yes, indeed, it is a Friday afternoon, and Friday afternoon means spending time in my company. It is the 23rd of Rajab, the 21st of April. Where in the world are you listening to us from this Friday afternoon? Well, wherever you're listening to us from, we pray that inshallah, the afternoon is a spiritually uplifting one for you, and that the morning was a lovely Jumu'ah morning. You enjoyed family, you enjoyed lunch rather with family and friends, and well, it's just a few more days before it's another long weekend. So coming back from the holiday wasn't that bad after all, now was it? Well, I know coming back from the holiday, having spent some time with my family in Port Elizabeth, was absolutely sad. But knowing that there's another public holiday looming just makes it all the more better. Well, April is a month like that, isn't it? The holidays come one after the other. If only they could be spread out throughout the year so that we could get public holidays all the time. Well, anyway, I guess there's no reason to complain. We should pray and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has blessed us with. Family time, free time, time so that we can get done all those things. I know a lot of sisters were telling me, you know, they're spending their time doing their Ramadan preps now that it's so many holidays that are coming up. Well, whatever it is you're doing, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it beneficial and productive for you. Well, what can you expect on the program this afternoon? In a few moments, inshallah, I'm going to be reading out to you a nice article that I found online. It speaks about, I'm not going to give away too much. Inshallah, after the ad break, I'll read to you a very invigorating article. That much I can assure you of. And after 2:30, the second ad break, we have a lovely interview coming up with Sister Aisha Jamal. Sister Aisha Jamal of Baitun Noor will be speaking to us about a fundraiser that they are running. Well, this fundraiser is in aid of the AMA mobile clinics that they run. So, inshallah, you'll hear a lot more about that a little later on. And to wrap up the program, we have Laika Idris with the informal scoop. So all that and much more right here on the program Friday Fusion. Don't go away, we'll be back after the ad break. Well, you're with me, Zakira Ansarmia, and before the ad break I mentioned to you that I will be reading out to you a very interesting article. Well, yes, someone actually forwarded this article to me and I found it very, very exciting. Because often when we speak about India and when we speak about the Middle East, and when we speak about our predecessors that originated from India, we don't really get a holistic perspective of what Orientalists perhaps or other historians from the European countries think about this part of Asia in particular. Well, this article speaks about Barbara Metcalf and what she describes her visit to Darul Uloom Deoband as. And as most of you know, many of our Asatida and their Asatida came from Darul Uloom Deoband. So for those of us who were like wondering who Barbara Metcalf is, well, she's a famous historian specializing in the history of South Asia, particularly the colonial era. Along with her scholarly accomplishments, she has served as the president of the oldest and largest society of historians in the United States. So basically, this is what she says. She says, in 1969, I arrived in Lucknow, the elegant old princely city that is now the capital of the populous North Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. And shortly thereafter, I made my first trip to Deoband by train to Saharanpur. Now, before I go on, I know that many of the listeners may have visited India. I myself, unfortunately, haven't had the opportunity to visit India. It definitely is on my bucket list and, you know, my list of places to visit. Inshallah, hopefully, I'd like to do the India tour soon. But if you've been to India, what exactly has India been like for you? Have you visited India and, you know, how have you found it? Have you enjoyed visiting India? If so, give us a call, inshallah, and let us know what exactly you think about having visited India. The number that you can dial is 011-854-1548. And our engineer, Ismail, is standing by to take your call. And, you know, perhaps you can tell us what exactly you enjoyed about India. Where did you visit? And, you know, perhaps you structured your visit in a certain way. Why was it thus? Have you visited Deoband? And have you visited the Darul Uloom? If so, we'd love to hear from you. Well, let's go on then. So I was saying, she said, she then stayed in Saharanpur overnight in the ladies' retiring room. Then took the first train out the next morning on narrow track to Deoband. She says, as I disembarked, an elderly bearded man dressed in a grey long-fitted coat, the Sherwani, as Nehru used to wear, and the cap of an old-fashioned courtly educated elite, came forward to greet me. This was the late Sayyid Mahbub Rizvi, the archivist and historian of the school, to whom I had addressed a letter of inquiry, who then and later was generously ready to help me understand the school. Sayyid Saab took me via cycle rickshaw through the brick streets and lanes to the seminary itself and directly to the upstairs guest house where I would stay and in due course return several times during the course of my research. I mostly stayed in that room, making an occasional foray to the library, from which materials would be sent to me or to visit the homes of the teachers or staffs of the school. I was remarkably fortunate in choosing this topic. Deoband could be studied by historian because there was an abundance of records and printed material. The elders of the school, shaped by their old world traditions of hospitality and especially respect for scholarship, were generous and helpful to any stranger who would inquire. There was also a tradition of openness to outsiders thanks to the schools involved in the nationalist movement. The fact that it was a woman who sought this help seemed more of a problem to American academics than it was to the Deobandis. I remember an occasion at the University of Chicago when I was writing my dissertation, I presented a talk describing my research, and later had lunch seated next to my host, a political scientist of the Islamic world. As I described my work and these religious scholars or ulama, this person kept repeating, "But of course the ulama will never talk to you. But of course they will never." He literally could not hear me as I tried to get across that they already had. I also was lucky because I was able to interact with individuals of a background I, as a scholar, normally did not meet. The grandson of the founder of the school was then the school's director. He was an elderly man, known above all for his Quranic recitation. He was usually spoken of as a Qari, the title of a Quran reciter, Muhammad Tayyib, and also for his spiritual guidance to tens of thousands of disciples across North India and in East Africa and many places elsewhere. Every visit, this old man would slowly come up the stairs to the guest house to see if I, an unknown student, was comfortable. I met the lively woman of the household who rarely went outside the home but had a busy and varied life led by Qari Saab's wife. And there, in other homes, I got a sense of the everyday life. In part, by my mistakes, when 12 children mistook me for a Hindu because I was wearing a sari, not the loose trousers and long shirts of women of their family. I then learned something, as I did about ritual purity, when these same children reacted negatively to my spontaneously picking up a puppy. Well, that's a little bit about Barbara Metcalf's visit to the Darul Uloom in Deoband. It's a very lengthy article, but you know, having read out to you these first few paragraphs, I'm sure you're also very intrigued by, you know, all the other things that she had to say about it. Often, as she says in the first paragraph, we think that, you know, Darul Uloom Deoband, like, how would they react to a lady coming to visit? Well, she gives a very intriguing account of what exactly it meant to her to go and visit the Darul Uloom and how much she learned from this visit. We're going to go for our next ad break, and when we return, inshallah, we already have the lovely sister Aisha Jamal with us in studio. So when we return, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why she's here with us at the studios of Radio Islam International this afternoon. Let's go for that ad break. When we return, inshallah, a little bit more about the fundraiser. Well, in studio with us today, we have Sister Aisha Jamal. Sister Aisha Jamal, inshallah, is going to be telling us a little bit about the IMA Baitun Noor fundraiser that they are having. But before she tells us about the fundraiser itself, she's going to actually be explaining to us what does IMA actually do.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Walima Zakira, and shukran for having me on Radio Islam International today.
Barakallahu feekum. It's an absolute pleasure from my side having you here this afternoon. Sister Aisha, you had to come out all the way to our studios. Firstly, let's first ask you, what's your first impressions like?
Absolutely wonderful. I have been here before. I've done an interview with Mulana Karsani last year, I think. Yeah, and it's time again for the fundraiser that we're going to be having. So, alhamdulillah, yes, very awed by the beautiful colors. So bright and lovely, the red and the whites and the blues. So absolutely fantastic.
Alhamdulillah, lovely. All right, well, what are we speaking about this afternoon? This afternoon we're speaking IMA. So inshallah, Sister Aisha, tell us a little bit about what exactly does the IMA do and what are these mobile clinics all about?
Okay, the Islamic Medical Association, Baitul Noor, this is what we are doing, the fundraiser. I'm actually a volunteer at IMA Baitul Noor for the past 9 years. We are a lovely group of ladies that volunteer at Baitul Noor, and I'm there for at least 9 years right now. There are some ladies who are there over 12 years. I think we're part of the furniture now, so alhamdulillah. There are lots of stuff that we do during the year, and the fundraiser is one of it, but let me just tell you a little bit about the activities and services that we have at Baitul Noor. And Baitul Noor is the social wing of the Islamic Medical Association. We are situated at 22 Browns Grove in Sherwood here in Durban. Alhamdulillah, I know Mu'allima Zakira has come to premises there and enjoyed a little treat there with the elders at one stage. So alhamdulillah, it is absolutely lovely that we have this Baitul Noor, and I have to say that it's an absolute enjoyment to be part of the Baitul Noor group as well. So we do counseling, individual as well as couple counselings, premarital counseling as well, and postmarital. We also do training of volunteers and professionals and caregivers. And then we also have social and financial assessments to establish eligibility for Islamic Medical Association renal dialysis, cataracts, wheelchairs, hearing aid services,
oh, wow, subhanAllah,
financial assistance as well, and nursing bursaries. They also have Feed a Patient program and prevention and awareness campaigns. We have special days like Mandela Day, 16 Days of Activism, World AIDS Day, and we also have a wellness program I think this is the second year running that we have a wellness fundraiser as well. The other year we had it at Al Ansar Hall, but this year it was absolutely, I think it was too small, the venue. So, this year we're going to be having it. Last year we had it at NMJ. So this year, inshallah, is going to be our third year having it. I'm even losing track of the time. MashaAllah. So we do visits to children's homes, homes for the elderly, and shelters for the abused as well. We also have the Muslim AIDS program, which is MAP and TIB. We also do community outreach and dawah. networking and collaboration with other, organizations as well. I think what we really also do is most of our volunteers, together with Fatima Abdullah, she is the social worker at Baitul Nur, the senior social worker there. What we do is counseling is done at the center. So if anybody needs counseling to be done with abused children as well, abused women. Mm-hmm. Also when, we have volunteer counselors coming in, a child psychologist coming in, clinical psychologist coming in as well to do counseling at the center.
So do they need to make an appointment?
Yes, they need to make an appointment. Okay. You can call Fatima there and I'll give you the number just now at the end of the program. Okay. You can make an appointment, and if you can't afford it, then alhamdulillah, it is done for free. Okay. If you can't afford it, then you can pay the rate. But you can also, if you can't afford it, you probably will try and get a sponsor for you. But we do it free there.
But these rates are also nominal rates.
Yes, nominal rates at all, yes. And what we also do is, together with the center there, when we have Caring for Our Elders program. Mm-hmm. That happens every month. So we have a set of ladies in the Overport group, the elders, and we call in the ladies, alhamdulillah, all our ma's, daddy ma's, our nannies, mm-hmm. and we call them in, we give them a meal, we sit down and talk to them, and we have people coming in to do pamper sessions for them as well, ladies from the community who want to do aromatherapy sessions maybe. And that's what we do every month. And now we also did have our Elders Luncheon. I don't know if you heard of that one.
Yes.
That was on the 12th of April. We spearheaded that together with all the organizations that we had, COCA and, WCG, Women's Cultural Group, and SANZEF, on all the different radio stations, CII, Radio Al-Ansar, as well as Radio Islam. So that was absolutely fantastic. We had like 1,260 elders coming in.
Oh, wow.
All at NMJ, mashallah. So it was ladies and men there. And I think they had a fantastic time. And the other thing is, it was so wonderful to see that everyone came in from all different backgrounds and all different races as well as religions.
Oh.
So it wasn't just a Muslim-based,
Okay, I think
occasion.
I'm intrigued by the races and religions part.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Okay.
Absolutely
lovely.
Wonderful. And then Fatima and I also go into the community. We do home visits because of the appeals program that I do on radio as well. Inshallah, we'll be joining Radio Islam, inshallah, one of the weeks to do the appeals program. So this is what we do. We go and assess a patient, or not even a patient, a person, a family that's having a difficult time. We assess them. We do the home visits. Maybe they've lost their jobs, or somebody's bedridden and they need a wheelchair, or they need an operation, or they're just having a tough time, basically.
Okay.
And we try to do poverty alleviation as well. And then also our volunteers, when it's disaster time, floods and, fires and that kind of thing in informal settlements.
Yes.
That's what we do. So we go out and we collect hampers. And during Ramadan as well, we collect a lot of hampers for all our recipients that do come to us on a, monthly basis.
Okay.
And so we try to distribute that before Ramadan.
Okay.
So inshallah, if, we're always in need of funds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why no fundraiser is without a purpose, I would say.
Absolutely. No, definitely. It's just always very nice to know the nitty-gritty behind it. Perhaps because sometimes people forget what exactly the purpose is. What cause are they, they're aiding a certain cause and they're buying this ticket and yes, they're going to have a lovely evening, but what's the whole point behind it?
Yes, I think what I'd like to say there as well, this is like ongoing other fundraisers come up for the year. It's just like the ongoing, genocide happening in Palestine and Syria and don't get me wrong, but all those are very, very important as well. And as the time arises when time of need, then people do collect for that, that need.
Okay.
But with Baitul Nur, I think it's an ongoing thing that we have, ongoing cases as well. And all these services that we provide at Baitul Noor. So this is why we have to, you know, sustain ourselves as well. Being part of the IMA, we are funded a little bit, but I think mainly we rely on donors from outside, especially all the generous donors. I have to thank them. They may be listening to us right now as well. Many of the donors that come from far and wide, whether it's the every part of South Africa, and we have donors coming in, alhamdulillah. So I have to thank every single person who's contributed to the IMA Baitul Noor, you know, the services that we provide for.
And I think here one of the most salient features of the IMA Baitul Noor is that you do the counseling. You know, week on week, I have sisters calling me. Just the other day, I spoke to a sister, and she was like, you know, she was going through a really tough time in her marriage, and who can she speak to? And because she's from an affluent family, they won't take it very nicely, you know, if she goes in and gets...
the stigma.
You know, yes, the whole stigma attached to it. And if this is something that, because of the stigma attached to it, no matter who is out there that is doing this counseling, there will always be something that will be hindering a person to go. So I think the fact that, you know, you can make your appointment at Baitul Noor discreetly and go and, you know, have your counseling session, it's so important.
Yeah, of course, I have to say, Molema, that we do the counseling sessions at the center, and there are non-Muslim as well as Muslim ladies and men, families. We do individual counseling. We also do family counseling. We do group therapy, like play therapy as well with the kids, and community counseling and development, and trauma counseling as well. So we also work with the police station. So in a case where there's a rape victim, I actually go out. We go out to the trauma council, trauma center at the South African police. That is, we work very closely with the Sydenham police station. Captain Lazarus there. So we work very closely with them, and we go out as well. And we also go out to schools, and we talk to the kids, you know, about abuse and rape and things like that. So because there are so many social ills, drug addiction as well. So we work very, very closely with ROFE as well. And that is the Drug Rehabilitation Center in Clare Estate. So we're always networking with a lot of people in the with a lot of organizations in the community. You know, we have to band together.
Definitely.
You know, ultimately together. So
now,
if anybody wants
strength,
you know? So if anyone wants the counseling, obviously please do contact Fatima. And we and what's very important, I think you will agree with me, is that before the girls get married, they really now need pre-counseling, premarital counseling, to know what they're getting into.
The reason I'm smiling is because, you know, I think it's probably so so often we speak about this that sometimes it becomes like, you know, oh yeah, what do they think? I'm not going to get along with my mother-in-law kind of thing. That's why they say I need counseling. But I think it's so much more than
I don't think it's about the mother-in-law, basically. That's the least of your worries. Yes. I think it's about compatibility as well.
Yes,
sometimes you don't really know your partner at all. And, you know, you can't wish for miracles to happen that you're just going to get along. Sometimes you're just not compatible at all. So you'll have to give in. You'll have to learn about the person's character traits. He will have to learn about you if you're a male or a female. So both of them are called in for counseling individually and then together.
Okay.
So they do the counseling like that. And let me tell you something, it's absolutely wonderful because many marriages have been saved because of that. You know.
SubhanAllah.
And understanding is very important.
No, definitely. Absolutely, it is. All right, alhamdulillah. Now that we know what IMA Baitul Noor does, tell us a little bit about this fundraiser that you people are organizing on the 5th of May, inshallah.
Okay, on the 5th of May, ladies, this is only for you, so you can bring in all your husband's wallets, your father's wallets as well. You know, and then to us, inshallah. So we are having this fundraiser on the 5th of May. By the way, the theme for that day is going to be denim and diamonds. And you know how women love denim and diamonds as well. So it's going to be an absolutely sparkling evening, inshallah. It's taking place at NMJ Hall on the 5th of May. The time will be 6 for 6:30. 6:30, and that's why we're having this fundraiser, is because of the all the projects that we do, alhamdulillah. So it's going to be a stunning evening, an awesome one as well. So it's going to have lots of entertainment, edu entertainment as well, and we're having a very special guest coming in. We won't tell you that right now. She is a hit sensation at the moment. So the tickets are going to be about 300 rand, and think about all that we do before you think about the 300 rand. And then we're going to enjoy a scrumptious braai, braai with a flair, we're calling it, flamboyant, elegant and chilled. And, you know, at the same time, we're going to be having a lovely evening, inshallah. Lots of giveaways. And at this, because it's a ladies only, we always have the three best dressed women at the function. So people always look forward, the ladies always look forward to coming out there and, you know, dressing up. Obviously they'll come in with their hijabs and all that. Once they're in the hall, you know,
it's time to let your hijab down.
Let your hair down, practically. So, you know, literally. So alhamdulillah, it's going to be an absolutely fantastic evening. I know this is, I think, our 7th one.
Okay,
alhamdulillah, mashallah, it's been absolutely fantastic. Everybody, I think, now in the community, I don't know if you're around Durban, you live in and around Durban, and you are from Johannesburg, but you've come on holiday as well, and you're staying a little bit over the you know, the Easter holiday. So, alhamdulillah, it's many people come in for the occasion.
Okay.
So, it is going to take place, yes, on the 5th of May, which is a Friday night. Mm-hmm. You can ask your husbands, fathers, brothers, to babysit the kids, but also to drop you off if you're not driving that late. Parking is ample at NMJ. It's security is provided as well. And the food is going to be, I know, very, very delicious. So that's by Exotic Food Caterers. Like I said, the prizes that people are going to get for the best dressed is from Dr. Baker's Weight Loss and Aesthetics. And many people want that as well. You know, it's going to be uplifting.
Ocean Ridge Spa.
I think that says it all. Yes. So they're going to be giving us lots of stuff, you know, I mean, for the first, second and third prizes. And it's all valued at over 3,500 rand each. So that's absolutely fantastic, I think. Tickets for tickets, you can contact 031-209-7838. We are open from Monday to Friday, as well as I think some Saturday mornings. And if you want to contact me, it's 084-304-1683. We will have a minimum of 20 tickets at the door. So not, I think you, it's better that they get their tickets, you know, from
beforehand.
Us before that.
Okay.
Yes.
But inshallah, if you didn't get those numbers, as well as if you wanted that number for Sister Fatima about the counseling, I will put up a post on my Facebook page later on this afternoon with all the details, as well as a podcast of the program, inshallah. So stay tuned for that later on this afternoon. I don't promise that it will be early, but definitely later on this afternoon you will see a podcast of that come up, as well as all the details. It's been a fabulous afternoon here. I'm sure you enjoyed hearing what the IMA Baitul Noor does for us here in KZN. And inshallah, it's time for us to wrap up. Last words before you leave, inshallah, Sasha?
I just would like to, you know, give everyone some, you know, advice is that nothing is too big, too huge to bear. Now, I think no burden that Allah gives you is too much to bear for you. There is always help available. And if you can't get to us, there's somebody there who will try to help you, inshallah. But try, if you can, get to us get through to us, inshallah. And you can contact us at the numbers that we've given you. And just for the fundraiser, I'd like to say, be like a diamond, precious and rare, not like a stone found everywhere.
Wow, I think that's a lovely way to end that off. Jazakallah khair once again for coming into our studios. It's time for us to go for that ad break. When we return, inshallah, the informal scoop with Laika Idris.
Yes, and it's time for La Ika Idris with the informal scoop. Last week, we do apologize. We did not have La Ika. And I think many of the listeners were waiting to listen to La Ika's new segment that she has. Last week, though, we had a two-hour slot. And alhamdulillah, you got to listen to a live workshop that I ran in Port Elizabeth over the weekend. It was an absolutely exceptional workshop and a lovely turnout. It was so good to meet friends that I haven't seen in ages. And Port Elizabeth being so small, you know almost everyone in the locality, in the community, in the, okay, perhaps saying in the city is a bit of a stretch. But yeah, inshallah, I hope you enjoyed having heard the program live as well. For now though, we're going to join La Ika Idris and she's going to give us the informal scoop for this week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. La Ika.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So as usual, we were talking about two stories and our first story focuses on The Time News magazine has included a South African doctor, Prof. Glenda Gray, in its annual list of the most influential people in the world. Gray is currently the president and CEO of the South African Medical Research Council and an internationally acclaimed HIV researcher. The magazine included her in the list based on her leadership role in finding a vaccine for HIV and AIDS. Prof. Gray said that she was really surprised by the announcement and at first she thought that they had made a mistake. At the end of last year, an ambitious program was announced to evaluate an HIV vaccine regimen in South Africa that, if successful, could be the first HIV vaccine to be licensed globally. Gray and her team are leading this trial, which is the first HIV vaccine trial in 7 years. Prof. Gray thinks that her dedication played a big role in her being nominated. She's always said that if we find a solution to HIV, we will find it in South Africa. And as a country, we have come a long way with many breakthroughs over the years. According to Prof. Gray, the field of HIV vaccination research is fraught with failure, and it is an honor that she can get recognition and that science is not forgotten. Despite all the challenges, Gray is determined to continue her work, and she says, "We can't rest until we find a solution." She says, "I might symbolize hope and passion, but it is the hard work of a whole team of people that will ultimately make a difference." And that brings us to the end of the first story. Going on to our second story, Muslim women in Cardiff have been offered self-defense classes over fears Islamophobia has been normalized since Brexit. Women have reported being shouted at and spat at in the street. New figures show that there was a rise in all reported hate crimes after the vote. A gym in Canton is now offering women-only self-defense classes with a focus on hijab attack prevention. According to South Wales Police, hate crime was never acceptable. The latest figures from the South Wales Police show 2,466 hate crimes reported to the force in the past 12 months. The Muslim Council of Wales claims that these figures are the tip of the iceberg and says some women do not report hate crimes because they now consider the abuse a part of their normal lives. Mohammed Al-Hamir, director of the project for the organization, said hijab attacks where headscarves are pulled were becoming a problem in the city. Al-Hamir said for Muslim women it has become normal part of their lives to be attacked and belittled. He narrated a story where a teenage girl was walking Ranch Town and a group of girls started name-calling and pulled the back of her headscarf and dragged her to the floor. Hayar Fitness Gym in Canton has started self-defense classes after reports of Muslim women feeling too frightened to leave their houses after dark or on match days for fear of attacks. The classes are open to all women who feel threatened by the increase in hate crime and teach them how to report verbal and physical attacks as well as evasive maneuvers if someone grabs them or pulls their headscarf. South Wales Police said any kind of hate crime was a criminal offense and never acceptable. A spokesperson added that they believe that by taking action against perpetrators, supporting victims and working in partnership, we can make the lives of those suffering from hate crime safer, protect their families, support the community, and prevent re-victimization. And that brings us to the end of the informal scoop with me, Laika Idris. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As always, Sister Laika, it's an absolute pleasure having you on. Some very informative stories there, and I do think that whenever it comes to hate crime, you know, and crime against Muslims in general, then perhaps these things are brought in a very much negative light. So it's good to always get the other perspective of it. Jazakallah khair. Until we speak again next week. Well, that is a wrap of the program from me, Zakira and Sarmia. Just to tell you more about what we had in the program lineup this afternoon, in case you did not catch us from the beginning. Right in the beginning of the program, I read out to you an opinion piece by Barbara Metcalf about her visit to Darul Uloom Deoband. If you'd like to see the entire article on this, and I only managed to read out a short portion to you, then inshallah you could go to my Facebook page and you will find it on my timeline. The story is there. Then after that we had a very interesting interview with Sister Aisha Jamal, where she told us all about what the IMA, Baitun Noor social wing of the IMA, does. And for those living in KZN in particular, I'm wondering, did you know that the IMA Baitun Noor actually do all these kinds of services and provide these kinds of services in your community? Well, if you didn't, you weren't the only one. Sitting here, I myself didn't also know that all these services were provided, but alhamdulillah, she enlightened us on that. And if you didn't catch that interview, then inshallah, you can get a listen, you can take a listen to that rather a bit later on this afternoon when I put the podcast up on my Facebook page, and on my Twitter handle, inshallah. So yes, that's a wrap from the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira and Sarmia. Until we meet again next week on a public holiday where you may be a little more relaxed. Okay, well, next week's not really a public holiday, but okay, it may be a long weekend and many of you may be coming down to Durban. Inshallah, we will have Sister Amara live in studio next Thursday as well. Sister Samira from our Butterfly Corner also coming down to Durban. So many of our Radio Islam staff members will be in and around Durban. Perhaps you catch a sight of them in the Hartley Fair or somewhere in and around Durban. Well then, from me, until we meet again next week, same time, same place. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.